Well, blessed be the Lord. So today I just was in prayer and staying in His presence, and I thought I was going to go one direction for a long time, and then it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, when you're just a little bit off, it's like taking a bath with your socks on. You know, you're in the water, you're in the bath, but it's like something ain't right here. I mean, this ain't quite like it's supposed to be, you know. So I knew that all day, and I was like, okay, but this is the best I got. But then he wanted me to read some prophecies tonight, and I'll tell you this right to start with. These are prophecies that came from Sunday service in Tulsa. If you did not hear or see Sunday service in Tulsa, the second service was really an incredible service. I would encourage you tonight, sometime in the next few days, to watch that service. You can watch it. You can actually physically, you can watch the service by going on Gary Carpenter's YouTube channel and watching that service. If you go to the Dave Roberson's website, you can only listen to it on MP3 format. But Gary has it, of course, in video form. So I would encourage everyone that's listening and everyone that's here to watch that service. I was really tempted for just a little bit just to play that service. It was so extremely powerful, prophetically powerful. And there was prophecies that came out of that that I believe is just the mind of Christ for us to hear tonight. Having said that, I really, those prophecies have not come out as present-day speaking from Dave's ministry as yet. I'm part of a panel of ministers that judge those prophecies wherever they come from, and usually I don't know who they are from. Most always, unless I had watched a service and then heard the prophecy, you know, previously to reading it. But amazing enough, I had read these prophecies even before I watched the service and judged them all and said, these are all from the Lord, and I'm sure you'll agree. I don't have direct permission because they haven't come out, but if I get in trouble, I'm going to blame all of you guys, okay, because you made me do it. No, I'm sure it'll be all right, but if it's not, I'll apologize. But here's the thing. I felt it was going to be okay because it's already up on their website as far as the actual service. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for a little bit. Father, our whole life is in your hands. And we who are seeking you for an outpouring, we have no other source except to go to you. We have no other mentor except the Holy Spirit. We're asking you to lead us and guide us again tonight into all truth, that your truth is your spoken word, whether it's prophetic word or your logos. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I did not have Candy copy these and hand them out because, as I said, they haven't come out yet. They will probably be out in the next few days. And you can listen to these by going on either of those two websites that I just mentioned. Hallelujah. The Lord's getting us real close to revival. Very, very close. I'm going to a conference in just 2 weeks. It's called Revival Now Conference. It's at Pastor Jim Martin's church in Dayton, Ohio. And the Lord has titled these last couple of conferences Revival Now, and putting the emphasis on revival is here, and we just have to reach out and embrace it. It's here, but it's also here in different stages. We are seeking God for the full-blown manifestation of that to come into fullness, to fruition. We're in the what we've called the edge waters of it now. We're in the place where we're beginning to know by witness of the Holy Spirit. And there are miracles taking place. And I'll just say this, and I hope you understand this. There's a whole lot more behind this statement for those of you that are watching these services and listening as we teach line on line and precept on precept. But the miracles that are taking place now, and I believe I have it from a good source, as Pastor Dave used to say, they are not coming from a standpoint of gifts. Whatever we are getting done, and we've seen a few recently, at least two that I can think of, real bona fide miracles. They're coming from a place greater than gifts. And when I say greater than gifts, of course, 1 Corinthians 14 tells us to desire the best gifts. So gifts are desirable, but without teaching on it, and it's not my lesson tonight, gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 were given to immature Christians who were in division with one another. And so gifts were the answer to, or it was the solution, present tense, to immature Christians, Christians that had not grown up. So he divided the gifts severally as the Spirit willed, because there was such division and pride among the preachers and those that were being used by God. And so that all of them, you know, they had not moved in to the fullness of the 1 Corinthians 13, which is the more excellent way, which is to grow up into Christ. Our revival is not a gifts revival. We don't want a gifts revival. You say, we want all those things that the Holy Spirit does. But gifts are, she gets a gift. This was the Corinthian church. You get a gift. Because otherwise, it's got to be spread out, because otherwise it'll be under, it'll be being directed by immature Christians who have a lot of character flaws, who still fight and fuss and don't have enough of the love of God in them where he can fully invest the fullness of the believer's anointing to that individual. Our revival, Pastor Dave used to talk about that we're after a believer's anointing revival, so that the fullness of everything that the Holy Spirit is, he wants all those things working in every one of you. That's Joel's army. So, as I said, I believe and I know that whatever we have been getting done recently, now I'd like for there to be more. I would really like for there to be more. But at this present time, we've already crossed a line. If you can understand this, I hope you can. I can't go into all the teaching on it. We've crossed a line where gifts will not be. Some gifts may show up from time to time. We may have a gift of miracles or a gift of the, but the gifts anointing, we're transitioning past the gifts anointing into the believer's anointing, where the fullness of the love of God is at work in this church and under this covering and under this anointing, so that the fullness of everything he wants to do. And I say, Lord, we'll wait for the fullness of the believer's anointing. We'll wait to have a full-grown people, ministers, men and women, administering this. Well, I want it now. Well, I do too. Well, let's just go force God's hand. You can't do that. You'll have a gifts. Let's just hit the streets and do it. It'll just be a gifts anointing. In other words, you'll have maybe 20, 30%, maybe. Well, isn't that better? Yeah, but while you're doing that, it'll consume your whole life and you'll never go in to get the 100. It'll wear you out. Well, do it. Just go ahead and pray for them. Nobody's stopping you. But here's the deal. If they didn't get healed, the only reason why they didn't get healed is God could not find enough in you to get it done. Now, that's not being mean. It's just that you didn't have enough of him in you, the authority of his love, to make that miracle, to bring that miracle to pass. And putting yourself in, let's say, well, I'm just going to force his hand. Putting yourself in harm's way doesn't force his hand. He only can find that place of the believer's anointing in the prayer closet through a change of you going from glory to glory to glory. Let's just force. I think one guy was here one time. He wasn't here long, but he was like, I'm trying to remember how there was something come up. I don't know. I know this has come from someplace. It's like they died. Well, let's just go over there and pray for them. Raise them up. Now, wait a minute. They died, right? Yep. They were sick. They were sick for a while. Yeah. And did you pray for them? Yes. And now you want to go raise them up? Yes. Let's go do it. Wait a minute. If you couldn't keep them from dying, wait a minute. If you couldn't keep, yeah, you know where I'm going. If you didn't have enough in you to keep them from dying, there's no need in you going over there making a spectacle of yourself or of God. If you couldn't keep them from dying and you already prayed, did you pray? Yes, I did. And they died. Yes, they did. Well, you're not going to raise them up. You going over there and, oh, I'm telling you, get up out of it. You didn't have enough to stop it. You won't have enough to raise it. Is there a way to go in where you get it stopped before they die? I know a way. Hallelujah. It's called tongues for the believer. It's called fasting for the believer. It's called meditation for the believer. Hallelujah. Yes. It's called dying before they die. Hallelujah. If you die, you'll keep them from dying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that we, hey, it's only quarter late. We can all go home. Listen, and I'll read and comment as he wills. He said, hearken well. This was the first one. There were six of them. And these were, I'll just tell you, these were from Gary and Hans. And back and forth. I don't have, it doesn't matter. But it does matter that we know they are men of God. This first one says, hearken well to the instruction of my spirit in this hour, says the Lord. For sooner than you think, I say hallelujah, you are ready. You shall be on the front lines, like none in this generation have seen. For I am bringing forth the promise of my spirit. You are the generation. Can you say praise the Lord? Yes. This is words from the Lord. You are the generation. You are the generation spoken of that shall cause the knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah 11. Hearken well. Hearken well to the voice of my spirit. Follow precisely the instructions given. You are my hope in the earth. It is not my desire to find another group, although there are other groups. Do not get lifted in pride, but as I have said before in another place, and the Holy Spirit was talking about another place of prophecy, and I know right where that's at. Where do I find those whom I have groomed and seasoned and taught and trained in prayer and in fasting for 20 or 30 years? It is not my desire to start with a new group. And there are more than this around the world. But no, as I have said again previously, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. You are my plan. Hearken. Again, hearken to the voice of my spirit in this hour, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me just read a little bit of that second paragraph. It says, but I have, as I've said before in another place, where do I find those whom I have groomed and seasoned and taught and trained in prayer and fasting for 20 or 30 years? The Lord said to us, in a prophecy on March 16th of this year, he says, judge yourselves. This was a fortress of prayer for revival, for revival's birth. I love this prophecy. I was hearing it when you were hearing it, but it's so intricate in just the way that the Holy Spirit describes what is going to take place and how the birthing of this, he personifies revival as a baby, puts the process inside a fortress, and then inside this fortress there's a room. Well, I know where that room is. It's the room of intimacy. Judge yourselves, says the Spirit of the Lord, for I have said unto you often that only prayer and continuous prayer will birth this revival. So I say unto you, judge yourselves of where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going, says the Spirit of the Lord. Inside a room, in this fortress, a baby is to be born. It is in the birth canal even now. Hallelujah. It's in the birth canal even now. I've never given birth. Several mothers here have. I've watched my wife give birth. Once it gets in the birth canal, that's it. Normally, naturally speaking, there is going to be a birth. Something's coming out of there. But in the Spirit, he's saying this, make no mistake, it can be aborted. It can be aborted even at that point through distractions and through the cares of this life. It can be prolonged for many years. Understand that every prophecy, this is so important, every prophecy given has always been contingent on whether or not you, my church, would do what I would ask and spend the time in intimacy and in prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. Well, let's just go back just for a moment to this part in this paragraph that I just read concerning the Lord, how important, I will say that you are and that I am to Him at a mature state. He can't, I've heard, I will be nice and say immature people, Christians say, well, if I don't do it, He'll find somebody. Just like, if I stop today, He'll just turn around and find somebody, Joe Schmo or Nancy, whoever, whatever. He'll just find a baby Christian and just make this thing happen. You could not be more foolish in your words. You have no idea of what it takes to grow spirituality. We are born with all of the seed, all the material to grow, to mature. But we are not born again, grown up. If anybody ever tries to teach you that, you show them the door. It takes the Holy Spirit years and decades to grow a child of His into a place where that they're capable of leading a charge into revival. They have to get past themselves. They have to get past devils of deception. They have to get past contentions. They have to get past wanting to quit. They have to get past, and then they have to continue to learn the Word of God. That's why important it says, let a man prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't want no baby Christian prophesying over you or somebody that's not walking in truth. Because they will, if they're not walking, if they're like, well, he can just use anybody, he can use a jackass, he used Balaam's. Are you kidding me? You're going to use some Old Testament sovereign types. He used a jackass, yes, and you are... No, stop. He cannot speak through someone that he's not brought to a place of maturity of the Word of God that puts the perimeters around them to be able to speak the Word of God in truth. So for us to say, well, he'll get somebody. If we all quit, he would get somebody else in this area, but it would take him the same amount of time to groom them just like he took us, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. That same group would have to go through. I've heard people go someplace and they'd go visit another church in another city, maybe that's, you know, not one of our sister churches, and they'd say, oh my God. You know, when you don't know people, you think they're the greatest thing since ice cream or sliced bread. But Dave said this, he said, you're not even ready for revival until the people that you work with, you can get close enough to them to know all their faults, and still be willing to go into battle with them. So you go to these places, sometimes you'll meet somebody, oh, that's the best Christian in the world. I wish they were coming to our church, or I wish we had a church like them. They listen to you all the time, and I bet you they'd show up for church. Listen, if they move here, they're going to get the same devils that you fight. And they're going to have to see if they can get past those devils. And some of our friends that are watching are on the front lines with us. So I want to make sure that I say that. But getting past and winning the war is a place of maturity. It's a place of growing. It's a place where we have to go where he can, and that takes grooming and word and growing up and fruit growing and purgings and purgings and purgings. And just like Pastor Jim taught us, when the temple is complete, when the last button is sewn, or the last thread is niched and notched, this revival will take place. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it. He can't replace us. He can, but it would take him. You are valuable. And I'll say you're valuable. I'll tell you this. That's why every decision for you frontliners, and you're watching, every decision you make is a tsunami. It affects everybody. You're already deceived if you think, well, I can make my own decision. It won't affect anybody else but me. No, you've already, if you've come to any place of authority, you've already, whether you know it or not, got a whole bunch of dominoes around you, whether or not they don't have to be calling you pastor or elder. You're already have enough around you that if you make the wrong decisions can tsunami a lot of people's lives. So you better watch what you're doing. You better watch what you say. You better watch the decisions you make in your life. Because he can't just replace you overnight. He cannot. Hallelujah. So last part of this paragraph. It is not my desire to start with a new group. We've read that. Okay, I'll just finish it again. There are more than this one around the world. But no, as I have said again previously, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. You are my plan. Hearken to the voice of my spirit in this hour, says the Lord. Hallelujah. As I'm reading that, I am reminded that it's so important that we understand that your value has come through a mortality rate. It's come through a mortality. You know what a mortality rate is? It's the rate of births and deaths. I used to be on a hunting lease in Alabama, western Alabama, way up close to the Mississippi line. And there was way back in the woods, way back in there. I'd love to go there sometimes and just walk around. There was a graveyard about the size of this room, and there must have been a settlement there. There was no more houses there, but I found it way out in the woods, and there was gravestone after gravestone, and it was sad. It was so sad, but because I love history, I would go from stone to stone and read all the stones. I took Candy there once. We went with four-wheelers back up in there, and all those little, during the late 1800s or early 1900s, the mortality rate of those babies, it was incredible. I'd go down those headstones, this baby, and they all belonged to the same family. It just amazed me that those pioneers would keep going forward against all of the hardships they had. Because this baby would die at one. This, just all, and they put on the gravestone, little Joe died of smallpox on such and such. And the things that don't kill anybody now would kill them because they didn't have any vaccinations. So you'd go right across, and it'd be like four or five kids, and they'd all die 3-4 years old. It was sad. Well, Jesus described the mortality rate of the church. He did in Mark 4. And he goes into how that immediately when the word is sown, the enemy would come with persecution and all kinds of things. And then he would come with the cares of this life. And what did not get one group would get another. And I think there's like four groups in there. The last group, the first group was immediately when the word was sown, it was taken out of their heart. The next group was persecuted, and they finally gave up. They were offended because of it, and they finally gave up. The next group was, if that didn't take them out, then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches was a higher takeout. It would take them out. There was really only one group that lasted, and that was the good seed, or the good ground, rather. And even on the good ground, there was only 20, you know, there was only 30, 60, and 100. Not everybody made it to 100. Not everybody did. But we all have the capacity. But what are you saying? If you come to this place where we're at right now, we're in a place where we've already been proven a whole bunch. And we've gotten past the mortality rate of spiritual death. If you were going to one of those hyper grace, you know, I totally believe that if in those some of those hyper grace message or hyper grace message churches where they may have 20 or 30,000, the mortality rate of how long they actually spiritually are alive, if they do come there alive or get alive, they could die at 1 or 2 years old, spiritually speaking. And nobody would know it. They could go to a church for 20 years. Well, you've been dead. You've been spiritually dead for 10 years and you didn't know it. Why? Because the preacher preached such a melancholy. Well, why are you saying all that? Again, not to come against other churches, but to say this. You are the ones that he's got. He's betting on you. He's putting all the money's on us and others like us to get this job done. Amen? We will get it done, Father. He said this. This was another prophecy. What I saw this time as we were singing, I can only describe it by something that I saw on the internet recently. It was a picture that I said, we can get that ready, can we? Yeah. He said, have you ever seen an atomic bomb, what an atomic bomb would look like exploding underwater? And as we were singing, I saw that picture, an explosion under the water coming forth. And then I began to see it in another place, and in another place, and in another place, and in another place. Hallelujah. That sounds like Kenneth Hagin's prophecy about the firebrands going all over the earth, and here and there and there. What some have said would take years, and I love this, and years, even decades. I say to you, I can do it in a moment. Would you agree? Would you say amen to that? And I can change things quicker than you think you can do it. So trust me when I say I am working on your behalf. Trust me when I say I have you and I am holding you in the palm of my hand. Trust me when I say it will be worth it as you follow me. As you stay where I have you stay, and you go where I have you go, trust me that in a moment I can change everything. Hallelujah. Our lives are not our own in this. You know that too, right? He said, where I would have you to stay, you stay. Where I'd have you to go, you go. I like what the Lord said to Gary Carpenter years ago. He said, now when the miracles start flowing from your hands like water, don't you go anyplace. In other words, some think when they need to go someplace. He said, you stay right where you're at. Don't think that I've called you to run all over the world. He said, isn't that amazing? The Lord will talk to you way in advance before things happen. I like that kind of talk. Somebody sit down and say, now, Pastor Bronk, when you do get your millions, this is how I'd like for you to, there's some wisdom. I'd say, my God, I'm going to be a millionaire. You're talking, you mean to tell me I'm going to come into that? Oh, yeah, I just need to coach you on it before you get there. Well, God was coaching Gary. He said, look, when it gets here, and it is, it's going to flow through your hands like water. Miracles. He said, don't go nowhere. Don't think you're supposed to get on this plane, go here, go to that city, go there, go there. Promotion's not you always going someplace. He said, you're supposed to stay where you're at and teach it to others. Hallelujah. So that's to a bunch of y'all. I'm going to need you in this. Y'all might perform a bunch of, but if he says go at the same time, because he's Lord. Amen. So he said, just as I have said, there should be a wave, there will be wave after wave after wave of my glory and my power. And just as I have said, don't be distracted by those waves. Also, do not discredit those things that I will bring up on the earth. I'll stop, put my finger right there because I'll read the rest of this. The Holy Spirit is so adamant and so believing that we're going to receive this incredible atomic blast. We're going to see a little thing here in just a second that represents what I believe really the fullness of this is going to look like, this blast. The Holy Spirit is so adamant in teaching us about how to survive and how to work inside of the anointing of this revival is that he's already telling us waves are going to come and they're going to be wonderful waves. But as wonderful as they are, don't get distracted by them. Well, you say, well, isn't he talking about himself? Because isn't he the wave? Yes, he's talking about what he's going to bring, but he's also saying, don't get distracted and say the wave that is a preface for the fullness, this is it. We can stop right here because he wants us to receive it all. Amen? He doesn't even want us to be distracted. I love how deep this prophecy is in the sense is he doesn't want us to even be distracted by the waves that he will send. Whether it will be in this place or in another, do not discredit what I do, but glorify me, honor me, trust me, and you will see that what I do in one place, I will do in another. And do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Do not think that this is the only place and the only time that I will move. But know that you are a part of all that I am doing in the earth. And it is because of you will stay. You will stay where I have you stay, and you will go where I have you go, that I am able to bring what I bring to the earth. So I need you. I need you. As I said, yes, you will be on the front lines. Yes, you will be on the front lines. It is very, very, very close, you see. But the front lines for me may be different than what you had expected and what you desired to see. But you will know when I work throughout the earth, glorify me. You will know that it is because you were faithful, because I was able to use your authority. So do not stop. Do not be surprised when I wake you up in the night. Do not be surprised when I call you throughout the day. Listen, some of you already get up. And this is the Lord. We're not mandating this. We're just saying you'll wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it wasn't coffee that got the Holy Spirit saying, get up. I said, well, I can pray tomorrow. Now, he wants you up right now. Frontliners, he may want you up. You may pray 30 minutes and you can go back to bed. You may pray an hour and you can go back to bed. But this is happening. Do you understand? He's birthing something. Somebody told me the other day, I can't stop praying. I can't stop praying. It won't get off of me. Well, they're in intercession. We're going into a time of intercession. Do not be surprised when I wake you up in the night. Do not be surprised when I call you throughout the day, and do not delay when I call you for prayer. When I call you to speak, when I call you to move, do not delay, because in a moment, in an instant, I can make a difference. Explosions of my spirit are happening around the world, and you will see that as you are faithful to me, I will use your authority to bring these things to pass. This is what I'm hearing, this person speaking. If you are in this room, and this means to all of us, it's in your lifetime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if we accept this as the word of the Lord, this is what God's saying. This is coming in your lifetime. And I'm saying, if you're in this room, if you're listening, it's coming in our lifetime. Hallelujah. Some have said, well, I thought it was going to be in his lifetime or her lifetime or in this lifetime. The Lord says, no, if you will trust me, it's going to be in your lifetime. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor Dave, I thought about when we heard this person, when the Holy Spirit was speaking and said what they saw was like this huge atomic explosion. Now, I'll say this, and I've said it before recently. Revival cannot, now we're in a progression of revival, okay? We're bringing this to pass. But at the progressive rate that we're going, like the miracles that we're having, we had a couple recent miracles, but they're not backing up 29, bringing them in on stretchers yet, and we're not having that phenomenon. For us, if you just did a, you know, if you did a social studies kind of look at us as a group, and if you just stood off from us and said, okay, if we're going to be kindly objective, you guys are looking like you're making progress, but the progress we're making to get to where we're really what these confessions that we're making, we don't have enough lifetimes. We'd all die. And it may take, if you just spread this, it may take 400, 500, 600 years to get to where they all get healed all the time, every time, like Jesus. Because do you understand? This progression, it won't work. It has to come at some point as an atomic type blast. And Dave saw it several times in the spirit, and the way he would kid, and he would say, I was thinking about it today, he would say, do you remember those old tuna cans, you know, the ones with the keys in it? I don't know, some of you kids don't, you know, but now they got the pullback, you know, where, you know, just have the tab and you pull it back. But he would describe it as the tuna cans where it had the key and you put the little key in there and you twist it back, and he would do the, and he goes, I'm telling you, one day we're going to be sitting here and you're going to begin to hear, and he said the roof, the roof, almost the spiritual roof of this place is going to be rolled back, and something like liquid sunshine is going to begin to pour into this house. And that's not just there, that's every place that's seeking revival. Hallelujah. He used to, you know, I cannot duplicate him. He said there'll be people, you'll bring them to where that liquid sunshine is, or they might be in that service. He said they'd be people with their minds gone, their brains fried, either through drugs or something. And he said, you know, he would use that hippie voice, you know, and he would say, that guy that's sitting there who hasn't known where he's been, in some kind of asylum for 50 years. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he would do the tuna can, and it rolls back, and here comes revival. that liquid sunshine would pour into that place. And that guy, that all of a sudden he's free. Nobody laid hands on him. Nobody cast a devil out of him. His mind is, hey, man, where am I at? Well, what's the last thing you remember? What was how a day goes? Hey, Dashbury. Hey, Dashbury. That's all I remember. Hey, Dashbury. Well, somebody said, who's what? Hey, Dashbury is a, it's a corner street. It's a, it's the corner of Haight, H-A-I-G-H-T, and Ashbury in San Francisco. It was the corner where all of the, it was the, where all the psychedelic drugs were given out. They had hash shops there and LSD shops. And LSD was the worst drug that ever came about. I mean, kids by the multitudes committed suicide with LSD. But they would take stamps, too, during that time. The height of it was late 60s, 68 or something. That was the big hippie movement down there in San Francisco. But they'd all go down there to get stoned and, you know, and it was all, you know, love, free this, free everything. And so they were passing them drugs and giving them other stuff. And so they were losing their minds. They were losing their minds on LSD. And so Dave would, of course, anybody as an LSD victim in 68 would probably be pretty old now. But nevertheless, you know, Dave would do that. Hey, Dashbury. That's all I remember. Where am I at? Well, you're here in Immokalee, and you're free. Your mind came back to you. Hallelujah. Those things, and here's the thing. We won't, because this is exactly what happened, we won't be laying hands on all of them. They'll just be in the service, and they'll just be being set free as a result of, this is what we're contending for. It is something more than the world has seen in centuries. There's been a little bit of salt and pepper on the little bit of seasoning that's come from time to time in little revivals. But I'm telling you, this last end time revival is an explosion like we've never seen before. Let's see that explosion just in a sense. Because listen, we can't go from our progression. It has to be what this person saw. Hallelujah. This is a footage of an underwater atomic blast in 1958. Okay. Bet those ships are gone. Do you realize it's going to be just like that? I want to be here on that Sunday, don't you? Hallelujah. The worst thing possible would be to be gone on vacation when it hit. Can you imagine? No, I don't want to. This was the third prophecy. The other ones are, after this, shorter. The Lord would say, do not criticize the things that I'm doing in the earth and the moving that I'm doing through your brothers and sisters around the world. Do not look to find fault in it, but look to see that I am pleased with my family. I am pleased with my children. I am moving the best that I can throughout places around the world. And sometimes You will see movements and you will see explosions. You will see what some would call revival, and the tendency might be to say that's not revival because of what we know revival to be. But allow me to move as best as I can as I'm preparing the way for what you will see and what you will know as revival. So the Lord's telling us, when we see other people moving, let's not be critical. Let's cheer them on. Let's say, we've got our assignment. We know what we believe revival is. But when God's moving in other camps, my God, let's say thank you, Jesus. I mean, I'm reluctant to even mention names because in the past when I mention names and 6 months later something, they say something that's, and then I have to go, oh God. But I'll tell you, I have so enjoyed Brother Mario Morello's ministry and what he's doing, and there the things that he's doing in those camp meetings and the healings that are taking place. That to me is part of this example. When other camps are seeing some results, let's cheer them on. Let's say thank God for what they're doing. But let me move. Oh, this is a season and time, says the Lord, that I'm setting people free. I'm using people like you who have come and dedicated yourselves and given your authority to me. And I'm using that authority to go throughout the earth and to set men free. So this is not a time to criticize when you see a move or a work. You know, I think of the disciples. They came to Jesus one time and they said, we saw a man casting out devils in your name and we told him to stop it. And Jesus said, if they're for us, they're not against us. Don't you? No man can do a miracle in my name and speak evil against me. Let them go. Hallelujah. But they will stay steadfast. He said this. So this is not a time to criticize when you see a move or work, but it's a time to lift them up and pray that they do not move off 1 degree, but they will stay steadfast with me. And you will see that as I move and you allow me to, I will use your authority and bring correction if needed. But I desire, oh, I desire, I long for and I yearn to see my people set free. So do not think that you want this more than I do. Do not think that you know how to do it better. Just trust me and just trust me. We don't know how to do it better than him. It's him. There have been many men who have come up with ideas and ways and plans to work on the earth and to bring freedom and to bring correction and to bring direction. It has gone on for many generations, but I say to this generation, this is my generation to move in the earth. This is my time because of people like you who have been willing to allow me to come. So continue steadfast. Do not let up. Do not relent, but continue in prayer. Continue fasting. Continue in hearing my voice and obeying what I say. It is not enough just to pray, but you must hear my voice and do the things that I ask you to do. And you will see that I will be moving, sometimes through you, sometimes through someone else. But I will be moving using the authority that you give me. So trust my ways, trust my judgments, and see that I will move through whom I can, and I will do what I can. I need you to do what I ask you to do, for yes, it is true, this is a time when I can do things that have taken many, many, many years from former generations to lay down and to provide the groundwork. But you will see that I can move very quickly, and it is important to not get critical or to judge those that you would not have picked. Don't worry, I know who I'm picking. I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. I know who I am, and I need you to be whom I've called you to be. Amen. It is very important, listen to me, it's very important that we continue to disciple. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, entrust this to other men. He said, that which you've received from me before many witnesses, give that to others. Teach them that they may teach others also. But here's the thing. It's important that as we teach people, that we always turn them over to the Lord. That we teach them that you are not. Listen, you can be, I'm a pastor. I know what that means. I am a father, not a, just a physical father. I'm a father to some people, to people that trust me, young men and other men that are looking to me for that purpose. But I am not their mentor. You only have one mentor. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is the, you say, well, that's a real distinct definition as far. Listen, a mentor, if you look it up, is the guide. He's the teacher. Now, I can teach you, but what my teaching is that I'm supposed to be turning you over to the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to always be turning you over and teaching you how to get in touch with Him so that He's the mentor. I can father you. In other words, I can give you some counsel and some direction, but my direction, and as you disciple other men and women, always, don't never let it be, don't you be the source that they have to come back to. You always present it to where, I mean, they may come back and ask more questions, that's all right, but you're always teaching them to learn themselves, to hear from the Holy Spirit. That's the one thing I loved about Dave, even though he was a father to us, he always was teaching us that we ourselves had to go and find that place where Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if He comes, what will He do? He will guide you into all truth. You only have one real teacher, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so it's vitally important that you continue to teach others how to equip themselves. I have young men, and I have men and different people. It's the greatest honor of my life. It does not tax me. To be it when somebody calls me and gives me a question, I love it. I want to help them. I want to in that sense of the word, give them direction. But every once in a while, somebody will email me, and I can tell just by their email and their question that they're really not listening to what I'm teaching. See, what your job is as a, it's, you're supposed to be discipling, but as you're discipling, you're supposed to be sowing into them so that they can, as Paul said, teach others also. So you're not supposed to be, it's not supposed to be coming back to you as the end result. In John chapter 12, don't turn there, some Greeks came to Philip, and I'm paraphrasing, and they said to Philip, and this was just before he went to the cross, just, you know, 13 is where he goes into the upper room, but in 12 they come to Philip and they say, we would like to see Jesus, they wanted a private appointment with Jesus. Well, that's okay, I'd have loved to have had a private appointment with Jesus too. But Jesus has got a mission, and Jesus knows that His mission is far more important than Him having a sit-down with the Greeks at this. He could not find that time. So He says to Philip, Philip goes get Andrew, and Andrew and Philip both go to Jesus. And they say, these Greeks would like to talk to you. Well, He gives them the most, you know, if you don't understand, you think, Jesus, what? Wait a minute, you don't understand. Your answer doesn't fit our question. These guys want to know, can they have an appointment with you? These Greeks, they've come to talk to you. Can they have an appointment? And he doesn't even say, all he says is, if a corn of wheat abides alone, it's singular. But if it's planted, now I'm paraphrasing, and dies and goes into the ground, it'll produce much fruit. What he was saying is, these guys, if they'll just hold off, I can't make time for everybody right now. But if I'll go to the cross, be sown into the ground, then the Holy Spirit is coming and He'll teach everybody all these truths. These Greeks won't have to sit down with me personally. They can sit down with the Holy Spirit after they're born again. They absolutely can have their one-on-one. So I have people sometimes, they'll come, you know, they'll email me. God bless them. And I can tell they must be newbies because it's just exactly what I've been preaching. So they'll want to know how to overcome a certain, you know, they'll want to overcome this or they want to overcome that, and they want to ask questions. Well, being the nice guy I am, even though I know that that's exactly what I've been preaching, see, you're not supposed to, how can I say this? You're supposed to duplicate yourself in a way that this can be duplicated to everybody. Everybody. So I'll give them a personal little mentoring, maybe once, maybe twice. But then I've seen some people, they don't want to do their homework. They're clingy. Can I take you aside? Can you be my mentor? Can you answer all my questions? Because I'm not going to go in myself, but I want you to be my little personal mentor. I'm not going to be anybody's personal. I've got a mission. You've got a mission. We can be fathers and mothers. And when people come to us, but if they're not doing their homework, if they're not going in themselves, what do you do when that? I don't give them a bad email. I'll give them one or two or three emails. And then if they keep on, like, because some people will want to, if you answer one question, they'll want to come to you every single day with another question and another question and another question. How do you handle that? Well, you always teach everybody to go there themselves. But if they won't hear that, they still come back, then you allow, can I say this? You allow mold to get on your emails. What's that? It means it sits there a while without you answering. You're sending a message like, I'm not going to come back with you every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Why is this important? Because you're all training for training others. And what you want to teach them is how to go there themselves. Now, I have a whole bunch of people call me, but they're already doing their homework, and it's the greatest privilege to take people that are already doing their homework in the Spirit and help go to another level. But if they're not going to do their homework, or they just want you to be, come here, Pastor, can you be my, no, I don't have the time. See, we're about to go to where there's going to be thousands of us. You're not going to, it's not just me, you're not going to have the time to mentor, in that sense of the word, 1,000 people or 2,000 people. You're going to have to teach everyone that you do teach how to duplicate themselves. This was discipleship. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. 4. I'd like to get you out of here as soon as possible. Not that we are under a rush, but I'd like for you to have time on Wednesday nights to rest. This is 4. For we're so close to this thing, and this is why God is coming in such a manner that He is wanting us to realize that this is a very serious. We are so close to it that we can miss it. We can't have a misstep or a miscarriage of this. That is his bringing. He wouldn't be telling us that if it wasn't possible to do that. So we must be aware. As I ask of you things that maybe I have not asked before, as I put more responsibility upon you, do not take that and put it on your brother. Do not put that on your sister. In other words, God's asking you, don't go tell somebody else to do what He's asking you. It's you, okay? He's asking you. Don't go tell, well, he told me, and you need to be doing what he told. No, you do what he said. It's you. Do not look to, at someone else and say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But you allow me to be a father and allow me to deal with my children individually. Pastor, he's not, I won't call him Pastor. Tim Stemple has some of the best lessons on false responsibility. False responsibility, you thinking that you've got to fix somebody. You don't, nobody, did you know you can't fix anybody? You can't fix your wife. You can't fix your husband. You can't fix your best friend. Now, you can help them, but it's false responsibility as you come into the place where you think you're supposed. I'll tell you what will drive a preacher or a pastor, and in years gone by, I had to get over it, and I'm still learning, still, you never arrive, but what will drive a pastor close to insanity is hearing the immaturity of this one or that one and thinking you got to go fix that. No, you don't have to fix anybody. You preach the word of truth and then let the Holy Spirit deal with their life. Don't if you get under thinking that you're supposed to fix somebody else, it'll drive you nuts. It's a false responsibility. It's not yours. It's his. You allow me to move in this place, for I say I'm speaking to mature sons and daughters of God who hear my voice and know who I am. You allow me to give instruction, and you do what I have asked you to do. You align where I have asked you to align, and you let me fitly join my body together. And you will see, as each one is responsible, hear my voice and does what I have asked you to do. We're getting close. I will move in a healthy working body, and the world will take note. The world will see. So leave the questions with me and let me be the deciding vote. Trust my wisdom, says the Lord. Trust my wisdom. Two more, but they're pretty short. 5. Know that offenses, listen to this one. Offenses will come through unexpected sources. So, Lord, we got to hear this. Be on constant alert. When you hear and when you feel your hackles rise, discern the source. What's hackles? Well, I had hunting dogs. I would hunt with my dogs, and sometimes all my dogs would get along. But sometimes somebody would bring their dogs, and if you had two dominant males, their hackles, the hair on the back of their neck. And if you didn't stop them quick, two dominant dogs were fixing to tie up. Listen, when you feel in the spirit your hackles, hackles can be those feathers on the back of those roosters. You know, there's some mean roosters too. I've been almost caught by roosters too. When their hackles come up, in other words, something gets to feeling like, oh, I'm going to straighten that out right now. Go get in your car, drive home in the Holy Ghost and keep praying. Whenever you feel like you got to straighten something out, it's of the devil and the flesh. Like, I got to straighten it out right now, because I'm not that kind of person. We're going to cut the ice. We're not going to have no confusion. No, wait a minute. Let's take them hackles and calm them down. Calm down. Pray about it in the Holy Ghost. Be on guard against offenses, for the enemy has come, and he will come to do his best to divide and conquer. But fear not, little flock. I have not left you orphans. You know the voice of the Spirit. Follow him, and you will be fine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And pray for those who are unwittingly being used of the enemy. They truly don't know what they're doing. Last one. Just another paragraph. Be on guard. Be on guard, says the Lord, for the enemy is bringing some tactics that you've not seen before. But know this, I have seen them before, and as long as you stay close to my spirit, nothing will take you by surprise. And even if it seems to take you by surprise, all you have to do is turn to me, and I will not withhold my wisdom from you. I will give you exactly what to do, and nothing that the enemy plans shall harm or stop this message or keep revival away, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? All right. Father, we praise you. We worship you. We thank you for these present day speakings and these prophecies, because these are coming from your throne, and we take them as literal, and we give you all the praise and glory. We walk in the peace of this, and we thank you that we are children of revival, and we bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and those that are watching, God bless.